from Norway, come from Norway to Greece. Today maybe 20 pensioners stay here.
Yeah.
Speak, oh, how are you, good? Sleep night? Oh, tired. Oh. But very big, really.
Welcome to the Lost Dog Podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners Albion, Apajura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. Day 4 at TCR number 12, and today we bring you tales from two ferries. Our team in Control Car 2 are twice travelling the short crossing back and forth across the Oslo Fjord, as riders continue to travel from Norway and on to Sweden. Further ahead, Control Car 1 are with a bunch of riders on a ferry that is taking them across the Baltic Sea to Poland. There's another group of riders already there and pushing hard. Who's right out in front? Robin Gimperler, Cap number 1, who yesterday took an earlier crossing alone. He's still the man to beat. Here's race reporter Jake to describe the ferry experience.
Good morning, people. I am standing up on the deck of the Tom Sawyer, our ferry across the Baltic. We're sort of about to dock in northern Poland after a night's crossing. We were actually really lucky. We'd got onto the ferry, booked a last minute spot, and there were no cabins available. Common theme for riders and our race team alike. Yeah, we got to the ferry expecting to spend a very uncomfortable night, sort of lounging in one of the chairs, trying to get a few winks. But after a quick conversation with Thomas Borey, who, along with another rider, had managed to secure a last-minute cabin in sort of despite and in against all odds, really, because they just put out a sign saying no cabins available on the reception, perhaps to reduce their workload more than to indicate the actual state of play. Yeah, Thomas and the other rider managed to secure a cabin and suggested we give it a go too. Anyway, David comes back dancing a jig of delight, having managed to secure a cabin for the three of us. So after a few fairly short nights sleep already in the race, it was really helpful for us to get a little bit of rest.
As the ferry edges closer to mainland Europe, Jake manages to catch up with a few riders sharing the crossing. Lucas Stripmatter, Cap 197.
How was your night's sleep?
Not that good. Just like down the hallway. I wasn't that lucky because of the cabin. There were like every cabin was totally booked out. Yeah, so I had to sleep on the floor once again.
Not what you want after a time trial to a ferry.
No, definitely not. Especially. I wanted to have a shower. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
How have you found the race so far?
Very fast. Like the guys in front, they are riding so fast. Yeah.
Do you think it will slow down?
I don't think so, no. They will keep on pushing until Kalamata, I guess.
So is your race going to plan? Is it as you expected for your own ride?
Not really, but yeah, like the place, I don't know in which place I am, but I hoped to be a bit better. But there are still like 6 days left of racing, so a lot can change.
Wojtek Vronka, Cap 95, is one of our bursary riders at TCR number 12. He's had an impressive start to the race and continues to learn on the go.
You made it across the Baltic. Congratulations.
Not yet, I think.
You have to swim the rest of the way. And how was the ride down?
Intensive and long, because I've slept only about an hour and a half each night, so it was bare minimum. I'm not sure if it was enough. We'll find in the next days. But at the moment, I guess we'll see about it.
Well, you are... exceeding your plan or sticking to plan at the moment?
There was no plan. My first TCR, I didn't know what I am capable of, so I was just figuring out on the way. I was probably done the right thing on the first day because I was sticking to my tempo. I let other guys pass me, so that I had much more energy next days. But now I might be getting a little bit too fast. So yeah, it might be the time to slow down a bit. Still a long way to go.
Well, if this is seeing what you're capable of, you're quickly proving that you're capable of quite a lot, Wojtek. Oh, it's amazing to see.
You.
Proving exactly why the bursary exists as well.
Thank you. That's nice to hear.
Earlier in the race, cap number 3, Tim De Vita, was struggling to find his rhythm. But he's recovered well and making his way across the Baltic Sea.
How was your journey down?
I wasn't planning to take this ferry. I had the 11 o'clock in the morning in my mind. So when I set off at night, I just went in my normal pace. And then it started to rain really hard. Really hard, like even my bags of my bike are like soaked in, so I have a little bit a few issues there. But then the wind started to pick up in the good direction and it was sailing suddenly, so I decided I could still make it to this one, which is great. So yeah, I'm very happy to reach this boat, and even though Norway was beautiful and Sweden as well, I'm very happy to be in the normal part of Europe.
How was your night's sleep up here on deck?
So I slept four or five hours, so it's not too bad. I feel how one is supposed to feel after a few days of TCR, but overall okay. Like everything's a bit sore and swollen and my nose is... blocked, and I have a few blisters and pains everywhere, but I'm as rested as can be if you don't sleep in a cabin. And I'm a bit jealous on those, I think, two guys who had a cabin here, but race still far, so I don't think it will have a lot of influence.
One vastly experienced rider that we've yet to hear from at TCO number 12 is Omar De Felice, Capmon 95. He's quietly made his way through the field and finds himself in a strong position as Poland and the Balkan countries await.
Some riders have said this is about the longest break they've ever had in an ultra. Have you had such long breaks before? And how does it affect your strategy and the way you're feeling?
I think that as long as you recover, as much stronger as you will be during the ride. So the ferry give us the opportunity to rest a little bit more, because usually I stop just for 3-4 hours in total. Now we had a very long break compared to the usual ones. So I don't know, but I really like to recover and to sleep. So I hope I will be better today.
And in terms of your strategy for the race so far, is everything going to plan?
Right now, everything is going as I planned before. And also the strategy about how to reach and where to reach the ferry was the one that I studied at home. I didn't want to stress myself trying to find too much alternatives. So everything was in plan. So let's see from now on.
It seems you had quite a conservative start, not trying to match the pace of the front riders right from the very beginning. Was that intentional? Was that the idea?
The idea is just to respect my body and to respect also my own pace. This is the pace that I can have for such a long race. So I don't want to rush in the first part of the race. I don't want to go too much fast, because this is my limit and I just want to arrive in Kalamata.
Yeah. Do you feel that it's been a quicker start than you expected from the front riders?
It's a very quick start, but not only about Robin or Christoph or someone else, but a very huge amount of riders that are going so fast compared to the past editions and also to other ultra races I've done in my career.
And finally, it was your birthday a couple of days ago. Hey, Omar, what did you do to celebrate?
I just have one cardamom and cinnamon roll, because this is one of my favorite cakes here in the northern part of the Europe. Oh, I turned 45, so I'm getting older compared to the other riders. But as I mentioned you before, I have a lot of experience, so I just have to use the weapon that I have. So experience is my weapon, and I will use to reach Kalamata.
Vi kommer att lägga till om cirka en timme. Alla passagerare ombedes att lämna sina hytter inom 30 minuter och lämna dörrarna öppna. Restaurangen är öppen fram till ankomst. Good morning, dear passengers. We will dock in about 1 hour. All passengers are kindly requested to leave their cabins within the next 30 minutes and to please leave the doors open. The restaurant is open until arrival.
As Control Car 1 enters Poland, race reporter Sophie and the team in Control Car 2 are about to board the short Horton Moss ferry crossing. Before embarking, Sophie spots Mathilde Germagne, Cap 94, who seems to be upset.
Je pense que c'est naturel, ça. C'est vraiment le bon moment que vous arrivez. Je viens d'y aller pendant une heure.
Oh non! Ça te dérange si on passe en anglais?
You just told me that you've been crying for an hour. What kind of cry is this?
Oh, I didn't sleep enough.
When you don't sleep much, emotions are... The lows are lower and the high are higher also, but the low are definitely lower. Mm-hmm. So do you have a solution? Are you going to sleep a bit more maybe?
Yes, I will take a hotel tonight and see what I can do.
Did you expect it to be hard or that hard? Or
I know what it is, but it's so long in my head, and that's the problem. Probably I had to focus more on little thing and see just the next point, not the full adventure.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine like the right to Greece, but it's easy to imagine like, okay, tonight I go to that hotel or that or by lunchtime I will be there, or baby steps. I mean, there is plenty riders around you.
Yeah,
you made CP1 on time, so you're not, there is something you're doing right, like you're not that slow. Maybe you feel slow, but it doesn't mean that you are.
I just have to take a shower and sleep, and after that I know it will be another day.
Once on board, Sophie speaks to riders who are taking advantage of the short break from the bike. For Stuart Featherstone, Cap 256 is also a chance to eat his first hot food of the race.
What was your strategy for the ferry?
Eat hot food.
Yeah?
Literally I hadn't eaten hot food all race, so that's the first hot minute, like, meal.
And you've been racing for like 4 days now.
Yeah, so
I bet it felt quite good.
It was emotional. On it, yeah. On
what
it,
did you have?
I had a burger. It's the worst burger I've ever had.
But it still feels good.
Yeah, definitely.
How has it been going so far?
All right. Yeah, I've got
beside the cold food.
I've got horrendous saddle sores, but I'm trying to manage that.
How do you manage it? Do you
know? I've got some baby nappy rash cream, so I'm slapping that on as much as I can.
Sophie also runs into Dennis Falkenhauer, Cap 308.
You have a really cool bike. I like your bags. Did you sew them yourself?
Yes, every bag. This.
So they match exactly your needs, I guess.
Yeah, more or less. Now I think would make it different now, with what I know now from the race. But yeah.
For instance, could you give us an example?
I think inside here I needed some straps there to make it more organized. So yeah, everything is a little bit loose, and you know. I think some straps inside would be nice, that I'm not have to be afraid that something is falling out when I take the coke outside during the race. Yeah, and this one I designed for the measurements of the Snickers, that they fit upside in the bag, So that was the idea of this bag.
How many stickers have you had so far?
Yeah, now I buy always the long version, so they don't fit now. So
that's disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have to make a new one for the long one, for the long version of the sneakers.
No, it's okay like this. Yeah. Yeah.
After admiring Dennis's custom-made bike accessories, Sophie once again meets Mathilde Germanier, who's feeling much, much better.
Je viens de raconter qu'après avoir mangé un croissant Hulk et parlé à Sophie Potter, je me suis remobilisée. Je suis arrivée, la dame elle a dit « Tape le chevaux !»« Rentrez ballon !» Et j'ai chopé le ferru.
To explain to people, basically I saw you like an hour ago in a gas station, in a bit of a low, to be honest, eating a really green croissant. And now, like an hour later, you are on the ferry that you...
Yeah. 1 hour ago, I was just crying at the gas station, eating a Hulk croissant green. Green as never we have seen it.
Yeah, it's funny how a low can be low and a high can be high. Yeah. Like you seem on a big high now.
Yeah.
you knew before that it was going to be like that, like a roller coaster of emotion, I guess.
Yeah, I know before, but when you are low, you just want to scratch. And after that, you find little things, music, extra powers. You see someone, and all change in your head. And when you are in good vibes, you can just keep riding as you enjoyed to do it. Yeah.
What better way to spend a little ferry time than with another Sophie Explains?
If you spend any time around cyclists, you've probably heard them talking about weight. So I think it's time for another Sophie Explains. Everyone wants the lightest bike possible. So I started wondering, how much does a TCR bike actually weigh? But before we answer that, why does it even matter? Think about carrying a suitcase, walking with it to get a train isn't too bad, but carrying that exact same suitcase up 5 flights of stairs, suddenly every extra kilo feels much heavier. So it's basically the same on a bike. On the flats, once you are up to speed, you are mostly fighting the wind, but on the climb, every extra kilogram has to be lifted uphill. A modern aluminium road bike usually weighs somewhere between 9.5 to 11 kilos maybe. A good carbon bike will typically come in between 8 and 9 kilos, and a top of a range racing bike around 7. But that's before you add everything a TCR rider needs to survive for more than 5,000 kilometers. Lights, batteries, tools, food, water. By the time a rider rolls out of the start, it's not unusual for a TCR bike to weigh between 12 to 20 kilos. But there is another aspect that is even more interesting, is that the same bike doesn't affect every rider in the same way. Now you might be thinking, so surely, like a smaller rider has a much lighter bike. Well, not really. Yes, a smaller carbon frame does weigh a little less than a larger one, typically somewhere between 100 to 250 grams, but that's about it. Most of the essential equipment weighs almost exactly the same, no matter who is carrying it, which means that proportionally, smaller riders and many women often end up carrying a much heavier load relative to their own body weight. And yet, here's the funny part. Cyclists will spend months and sometimes thousands of euros trying to save a few hundred grams. Then they will stop at the supermarket, walk out with 2 liters of Coca-Cola, 4 pastries, a bag full of snacks, and instantly add 3 kilos to the bike. Because that's a reality on TCR. It's not about building the lightest bike. It's about finding the right balance between weight, reliability, and self-sufficiency. The lightest bike isn't always the fastest, but it definitely helps. Sometimes, although, carrying an extra jacket, a larger battery, or a few more tools is exactly what gets you to Kalamata. But now, enough talking about bikes. Let's get back to the people who are actually riding them.
Sophie speaks to John Reed, Cap263.
It's been awesome so far. It's been absolutely amazing. Loved Norway. I've been here before and it was everything I expected it to be, so it's super cool. But yeah, I'd quite like to see a bit of Sweden as well, you know. I'd like to see Greece.
Also, yeah. I mean, they have good ice cream there as well.
Well, you know,
and
that's
it's a bit warmer.
I think I'm just gonna cover myself in ice cream.
What kind of schedule do you have in mind? Maybe kilometers per day, hours per day? How you do?
So, I was like kind of do about 270 a day to get down to the bottom of Sweden was my goal. And then I saw the checkpoint one timing and I was like, oh, I need to go a little bit quicker to get to checkpoint one. So I got to checkpoint one like the evening before it closed, so quite late at night. And at that point I was like, this is really good, you know, so nicely on time. Every now and then I look at the leaderboard just to, oh my God. And then I stop looking at the leaderboard. Because you're like, oh, they're going that way. You know, that's quite useful. That's quite useful to see. But yeah, but seeing how far some people are ahead, like Robin, it's mad. It's completely mad.
Before driving off the ferry for the second time, Sophie chats to Cesar Pedrini, Cap 110. TCR is a race of choices. Cesar has chosen to ride the entire 5,000 kilometers with just the one gear.
I ride a single speed bike, so...
Oh, I was wondering if we would have one. Yeah.
A feature was needed over your
face.
Wait,
is it on purpose? Or did you break something and now it's a single speed?
No, it's on purpose, but it's not my first show. I did already Transcontinental Race in 2017 on a fixed gear bicycle. So,
so this time it's a single speed?
Because I'm getting lazy. And so these guys are passing me like six times a day. I know them only from the back. But they pass me every day. Continuously, I don't know where I pass them because maybe they just pass me and they hide. And then after a couple of hours, they pass me again. I don't know what they're playing.
Good morning, everyone. Here in control car number two, we drove a bit this morning and make it to the ferry, the one that is just right before the border before Sweden, because it's a great place for us, because like every riders have to take it, so it's a great place for us to get interview, get pictures. So we actually ran the ferry twice, so we could get more stories to give you. Everyone is in good spirit here, I must say. They are all charging their stuff on the ferry, getting some food, a tiny bit of rest, because the ferry is not long, like 30 minutes, something like that. So we're going to push a bit more today because we have booked our ferry for tomorrow morning to the crossing from Sweden to Poland.
As Control Car 2 starts saying goodbye to Norway and heads to Sweden, they spot a rider on the border with their camera out. Nathan Offord, Cap 221.
Are you stopping to get a picture of the
Swedish
border?
Yeah, I thought something to send to my girlfriend. First,
is she
first
following...
country down.
Is she following you?
Yes.
Like, yeah, and
well, she's meeting me at the end, but she's just watching the dot at the moment.
Yeah, that's right.
And then if I make it down to Greece, she'll be coming out to Greece and joining there, so that'll be really sweet.
And, is she? Do you know if she's like dot watching you like crazy?
I think whenever she gets a moment, she's checking on her phone, seeing where she's at. And we've got a few friends and family at home who are just sort of like picking out where I've stopped, or you know, will you stop for more food? I'm like, yeah, pizza. Pizza is needed. Like,
despite losing his pairs partner John yesterday, Andrew Phillips, Cap 00A, continues to pedal on alone. As a member of the Lost Dot team, riding outside of GC, of course, he's been taking questions from our race partners and sharing his thoughts directly from the road. Here's Andrew being quizzed by David from Supernova.
What was your first thought you had once the excitement of the start had faded?
Good question. Probably is John pedaling too hard? and I think we found out after a while the answer was yes.
Have you already caught yourself thinking like race organizers instead of riders, or...
Good question. Yeah, I was sending pins for good photography locations to the team last night, and yes, I've definitely been. It's hard to take the race organizer away from you completely, for sure.
Yeah, I believe that. What is the most difficult part in riding as a pair? You know, we see of course a lot of single riders, but what is the difficult thing about riding as a pair?
I think it's just trying to get the pacing right and then being considerate of each other. So, you know, sometimes one of you wants to stop and the other doesn't. And sometimes you have to say, let's not stop right now. But sometimes you have to look at your partner and say, actually, you know what, they really need to stop. So I will. So yeah, I think just being considerate is the main thing.
Okay, and now we at Supernova, of course, are interested in some light topics. So be honest, did your lights reveal more amazing scenery or more potholes than you wanted to see?
Actually, the roads were pretty good, so potholes weren't a problem. So I'd say more amazing scenery, but for the fact that it only got a little bit dark last night because we're so far north, so I could probably see most of the scenery anyway, but the lights were great.
Let's head back to Control Core 1 to find out what lies ahead for both them and our riders as they reach Poland. Race director David Eyre.
Well, we currently sit here on the fifth floor of the Świnoujście ferry, and we are about to disembark any moment now. And we will be chasing riders south through Poland towards Parkour 2A, located in Czechia. So, quick look at the tracking shows us that riders are really pressing on. Robin still has a clear advantage, but currently Jocelyn Roth is second on the road and chasing hard. So has made the most of that extended period of rest on the ferry. Seemingly those fresh legs are carrying him forward at quite a pace. So we'll be picking off riders on the way down, hoping to catch them resupplying, seeing them moving through some different landscapes. It's still relatively flat, this first section in Poland, so it should favour those people who have got like the big powerhouse engines, the likes of Christoph Strasser. We should see him moving through these pretty quickly before it returns to more mountainous terrain as the riders move into Czechia in that next bit of parkour. So it's about 600 kilometres from this ferry terminal to that next bit of parkour, so plenty of ground for them to cover, hopefully plenty of opportunities for us to catch up with them and seeing how that race unfolds. We were expecting the first rider to arrive at CP2 later tomorrow, although Robin Gemperla continues to blow my pre-race planning right out the window. So he has carved out a considerable lead over the chasing pack, all of whom, I would like to add, are bang on schedule. And he is now hours ahead of them. At this point in time, roughly 150 kilometres from Parkour 2A. There are then a couple of hundred kilometres from there to Parkour 2B, and the CP, but we now expect him to arrive tomorrow afternoon rather than evening, whereas the rest of the riders should be on course for that more scheduled arrival.
As evening draws in on day 4 at TCO number 12, Control Car 2 is now in Sweden, and the team are on the hunt for dinner in a reputable kebab shop. Will they see any riders in there while they're at it? Of course they will. Here's Sophie with Mark Fischler, Cap 238.
What happened then since registration, since I saw you in registration?
I had heavy knee pains, so I had to, before the start of the race, I had to change my saddle and my seat post because the other one was creaking all the way and making bad noises that I didn't want to hear for 5,000 kilometers. So I knew it's not adjusted perfectly and that I started to get knee pain. So I was doing a lot of bike fitting in the first day or the second day. Every time, cleats, saddle, everything. Yeah. Now? After 1,000 kilometers, they are running again. So this morning was really great. I was able to push again out of Norway. Yeah, it was good.
So perfect. Good your kebab is here now, so I'm going to let you go.
Here. Here we go. Thank you, Sophia. Have a good day.
Also waiting for a kebab to arrive is Knut Karen, Cap 40. A Trondheim native, he's accidentally found himself a local celebrity in his hometown, back where it all started just a few days ago.
So how was it to start the race from your home?
It was... actually, it was the reason I did it. I had read about it and I... Okay, it's starting in my hometown, so maybe I should try. Yeah. It was fun. Newspaper was write a story about me and nobody knew, just my family. So the newspaper they wrote about it after I started, so no, everybody knew. No.
You made it to the journal.
Yeah, I made it to the journal. I have done rides every summer the four last years, but I have never told anyone where I was going. So then every part has been a victory. But now everything is going to be a failure if I don't make it.
So you have pressure on your shoulder.
Yeah. I made it on myself, so I feel it.
Finally, Sophie chats to Floris Becker, Cap 344, who she spoke to earlier in the race when he was kind of drinking his crisps.
Hello, Pringle guy.
Hey.
I call you Pringle guy now.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. How are you?
I was on a real low this morning and yesterday evening as well. And now I'm... Yeah. Thank you so much.
You ordered falafel and french fries.
Yeah. Everything I need. But now it's good again. It's nice that it's flatter in Sweden. So you make a little bit more progress with the kilometers. I took a hotel last night. I slept for 8 hours.
I think it was much needed because I saw you like 2 days ago.
Yeah. I already said that I needed a hotel and I couldn't find one. So last night
I
So I stayed for longer and now I noticed that the kilometers are going much easier. And yeah. And a good friend of mine has ridden wrote the TCR before, like a few years ago. And I called him this morning and I said, oh man, I'm at a low. I'm really thinking about scratching. And he said, no, you're not thinking about scratching. You're just going to ride on. And you know, after a low, there's going to be a high again. And, well, I'm on a high again. So.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect, yeah.
Time for the recap of the day. Today in Contrecoeur number 2, we moved a little bit further south, just like any other riders out there, and covered the area around the Norway-Sweden border. So many of the riders we met today are people we also saw 2 days ago. Back then, some of them were, if you don't mind me saying, a bit all over the place. But now they seem to have found a good rhythm that suits them and steady now all the way to Greece. Quite a few also told us they didn't really felt like they were racing. They almost felt like imposters, calling themselves racers, knowing that there is a rider much further ahead of them. But they are riding their bikes, they are following their self-reported rules, and they are covering around 300 kilometers per day, 4 days in a row. If that's not racing, I don't know what is. Later on, we spotted plenty of riders stopping for a quick photo at the Swedish border. Sign, one country done, well done. We also made it to Sweden in Contrecoeur number 2, and Abba was playing in the car all day long, which made me, I must say, very happy. Mamma mia, we are going to Greece. But now, let's back on the road with our Gossip Girl moment.
Gossip Girl is real?
It seems Luca Streetmatter, Cap 197, really believes in locally sourced food. He was spotted next to a berry bush, helping himself to a handful of fresh berries, locally sourced. And most importantly, completely free, because food in Norway wasn't cheap. An average burger can easily cost 30 euro. Una Bowman, Cap 188, was spotted one barefoot and giving a finger at her pedal. She lost a screw from her cleat, leaving her shoe stuck on the pedal in a weird position, so she had no choice but to walk 40 minutes all the way to a bike shop. The story doesn't say whether she has at least had a flip-flop for the walk, but she's now moving forward again, this time on a bike. Grinchina Kartik, Cap 97, was spotted counting her teeth in front of the glass. After surviving on a diet that is mostly sugar, she just wanted to make sure they were all still there. She is right, sugar is not good for your teeth, so don't forget to brush your teeth out there. It took a few days, but the Bravery Badge is finally back. The Bravery Badge celebrates courage, creativity, and a touch of madness. And today it goes to Cesare Pedreni, Cap 110. Cesare completed his first TCI in 2017 after having cycled just for 2 years before that. He crossed the finish line the morning after the finisher party, then came back for another TCI and this time arrived during the finisher party, so within GC. What I haven't told you yet is that he rode both of those races, everyday commute bike, that happened to be a fixed gear. This year, Cesare said he had become a bit lazy and decided to give himself a freewheel. You are right, really lazy. Instead of spending hours choosing a rear derailleur, he simply decided not to fit one at all and is now riding TCR on a single speed. So congratulations, Cesare, and just a little reminder, the finisher party starts on August 8th at 7 p.m. sharp. Don't be late.
That's it for tonight. Tomorrow in Contrôle Car number 2, we will leave early in the morning to catch the ferry to Poland, meaning we are already leaving Sweden. I don't think I've ever visited a country this quickly, but I've been to IKEA plenty of times, so maybe that counts. To all the racers out there, from the front to the tail, and even after, good night and good ride, everyone.
Remember, you can read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dog website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apajura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.